Ways of using land that seemed like a really good idea decades ago turned out to be not such a good idea with the passage of time. Putting cows and cars and houses in places where they did not exist before has blown up on us a few times, to put it mildly. So you hear over time about restoration projects, returning chunks of land to something like a natural state to encourage the growth and or return of the creatures that lived there or did. The Winter Lake Restoration Project in the Coquille River Estuary in Coos County is one such project. A number of organizations are involved in the Winter Lake Project. We have two guests with us to talk about it. Megan Hilgart is a habitat restoration specialist and a contractor for NOAA Fisheries. Megan, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
Good to have you. Stephen Denny's here as well. He is the South Coast Conservation Director for the Nature Conservancy in the Roseburg Field Office. Stephen, welcome to you.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, Megan, since NOAA's involved, I can only guess that this is primarily a fisheries restoration kind of project?
I think it has more benefits than that, but that's kind of where our focus lies.
Mm-hmm. So what's been the starting point here? What got things going?
Well, we ran a competitive grant program here. It's the Coastal and Marine Habitat Restoration Grants, and we ran a competition, and the Nature Conservancy put in a proposal, and we're ranked highly, so they're selected as one of our potential grantees. We're still in the finalization process, but the project did really well in our process, and for a lot of different reasons, it's got huge benefits for coho, but then also is doing some improved improvements on active farmland, which was really looked at highly. And they had a really strong management plan for the site and really had a strong way to monitor the success of the project. So that really looked good in our process. But yeah, our involvement's really new, and I'm excited to be involved after hearing about it for so many years.
So the Coastal and Marine Habitat Restoration Grant has not been awarded, or has it, for this project?
They have been ranked highly. We just have to go through a process with our grants management division to finalize it. But it's looking very, very good.
All right. So, Stephen Denny, give us the story of this land. I mean, how much land is involved here? Who owns it? Why did it get degraded over the years and in need of restoration now?
Well, it's kind of an involved story. It's owned by a number of private individuals, as well as one parcel owned by Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. It's included in an area known as a drainage district, the Beaver Slough Drainage District, which has been in place since 1905, and whose primary purpose was to manage water and basically drain the wetlands for agriculture. And it's been managed that way since 1905. But this project, I think, comes in under kind of the guise of a working landscapes concept, where we're doing a project that benefits both the neighboring agricultural owners as well as fish. It encompasses about 1,700 acres overall. The restoration activities are going to occur on a little over 400 acres of that, primarily aimed at improving fish passage at the tide gates that help the drainage district manage the water, and then also to restore tidal flow and reconnection of over 7 miles of tidal channels, primarily to produce coho overwinter habitat, which has been found to be one of the key limiting factors in recovering coho salmon populations.
So tide gates, for folks who don't live on the coast, are probably a new sort of concept here. Is this how they let the water out and then didn't let the ocean back in when the tide came in?
Right, that's the concept. The old style were old wooden flapper gates that used hydraulic pressure from the tide to either open or close. Those are in a position where they're going to fail here pretty soon. So working with the drainage district, there's some new modern technology to improve tide gates to benefit fish passage, and really some of the innovative types of designs that we have will actually basically open the area up to coho salmon migration in the wintertime, which is a time when usually high water events flood the area anyway, and there's no cattle on the property. So really the timing was great. The landowners can raise cattle in the summer, and the fish have access to it in the winter, which is their critical time period.
Wow, that's really interesting. So the agriculture stuff won't stop, but it'll take a seasonal seat, and the coho will have the other part of the year.
In fact, actually, it'll help improve the agricultural area, because they'll be able to get their cattle onto the area a little earlier in the spring because of increased drainage capacity and also less maintenance. These types of tie gates will last 50 to 75 years, as opposed to the old wooden style that last about 20 to 25 years. So they have a lot less maintenance and infrastructure. It also, those tie gates allow us to independently control water levels on the different units. So the ag units can manage their water differently than we do on the restoration area that'll help benefit fish. So we, and like Megan said, this project will not only benefit coho salmon, it'll benefit Chinook salmon, waterfowl, which the Coquille estuary is one of the key waterfowl migrating areas, shorebirds, wintering raptors. So it really, it's really a win-win, we believe, for everybody, but especially focused on coho salmon recovery.
The project we're talking about is the Winter Lake Restoration Project in the Coquille River Estuary in Coos County. Steve Denny is with the Nature Conservancy. He's the South Coast Conservation Director. Megan Hilgart's with us as well. She's a habitat restoration specialist and a contractor for NOAA Fisheries, the federal agency. You can join us on the exchange with questions or comments about the process here. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Stephen, is any land actually being retired from agriculture as part of the Winter Lake Restoration Project?
Yes, a portion of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife property will be replanted to native. That area was historically a forested tidal wetland, and so the plans are to replant a substantial amount of the ODF&W property back to native trees. There's about seven species that we're going to plant, about 131,000 trees. That will restore habitat and cover for coho salmon and birds and that sort of thing. It will also provide shade to the channels that we're reconnecting and put under tidal influence to help cool the water down for fish and other different wildlife.
Had there been a lot of clearing of timber over the years to make room for the other purposes there?
Yeah, basically the land was completely cleared back in the 1880s, 1890s, up to I think the last photo I saw is about the 1940s. The vast majority of the native woodlands there were removed for agriculture.
So, Megan Hilgart, as we talk about the critters that could flourish at least in greater numbers than they do now, coho salmon always seems to be at the top of the list. Give us a sketch, if you can, about what's been happening with coastal coho in the region.
Well, they are listed on the Endangered Species Act as threatened. So anything we can do to recover them is, really beneficial. I know that Steve earlier said that this is one of the limiting factors, this type of habitat that's being created by the Winter Lake Project or restored. So juvenile coho need access to these slow-moving areas off the main stem so they can get out of the high winter flows so that they don't get flushed out of the ocean when they're too small, which, they don't do well when that happens. They don't survive ocean life when they're teeny tiny. So that's why we were really wanting this project out of others, is that it goes a long ways towards the recovery of coho salmon. So there's a draft recovery plan out for coho, the Oregon Coast coho, that this project really is lined closely with that. So that's really one of the main reasons we wanted to get involved, aside from all the other benefits we talked about.
Are there coho in the Coquille at this time, or are they just suspected that they'll come back when you can get stuff like Winter Lake Restoration up to speed?
There are definitely coho still in the Coquille River.
Mm-hmm. And you and obviously NOAA Fisheries, Nature Conservancy, not the only partners in here. Who else is involved in this, Megan?
The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board is a big funder. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife, their Coastal Wetland Program, is also funding a large chunk. As Steve mentioned, the Drainage District has been really a large partner, one of the main partners that we're able to work on developing the water management plan that is going to be critical to the success of this project. So they're a huge, huge partner. Other federal agencies also helped get that together. My agency from the funding perspective, but also the regulatory perspective, reviewing the plans and getting the fish passage designs approved, all of that. And I think, just in general, what we saw when we were reviewing the proposal is that all the local match that this project brings is really a good sign that there's strong community support, or at least some element of the community is supportive.
And what is the total price tag then?
We are providing $1.2 million to the project. Steve, do you know the total price?
Yeah, it's right around $10 million for both the tide gate replacement and the restoration work and all the monitoring and the prep work that needs to go into it. Okay. I might also mention on the partnerships, we've got a number of other partners besides the agencies as well. The Coquille Indian Tribe has been very interested in this project because it meets the objectives of their subbasin plan, which they wrote, which was a sort of a recovery plan for coho salmon because they have great cultural importance to the tribe. The Wild Rivers Coast Alliance, which is Mike Kaiser's philanthropy arm of the Bandon Dunes Golf Course, has been very involved with contributing money and that sort of thing. Ducks Unlimited, just a whole realm of different partnerships out there, as well as the federal agency. So it's really got a lot of support to try this type of project.
Yeah, so not a big purse, but a bunch of pockets, it sounds like, that you're able to tap.
Right.
In a sense. We're talking about the Winter Lake Restoration Project with Stephen Denny from the Nature Conservancy and Megan Hilgard, a habitat restoration specialist who's a contractor for NOAA Fisheries. 800-838-3760 if you want to join us by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Stephen, how unusual is this project in the sense that you have, again, that situation where you're talking about pasture land for cows in part of the year and habitat for fish in another part of the year?
Well, I think it's one of the larger projects on the West Coast because I say it's 1,700 acres, so you're looking at almost 3 square miles of overwinter coho habitat potentially. I think this is a little bit of a prototype project in that we're looking at, you know, doing the working lands concept and replacing the tide gates for agricultural production while maintaining the area for overwinter coho habitat. I think it's a real tribute to the drainage district. When we first approached them back in 2008, I believe it was, we've been working on this for 8 years trying to come up with a project that shows both those benefits and get it funded, get through the permitting process. So it does take a lot of work, but I think when it's all completed, it's going to really be used as kind of a prototype up and down the coast for coho.
Pardon me for looking as low as I can, but there's always the manure question when you're dealing with pasture land. I mean, mm-hmm. How do you deal with the issue of cow manure not ending up in overly large amounts in the areas where you want coho salmon to flourish?
Is that for me or Megan?
Whoever can take it.
I'll let you take that one, Steve.
Okay. Well, the area is used for pasture. No doubt about it, for agriculture, so there is some waste, I guess, associated with it. A lot of that decomposes, and fertilizer to use for benefiting the grass and that sort of thing. On the restoration portion of it, livestock are going to be taken off a major portion of the restoration site, especially as we plant trees and that sort of thing. Cattle will be fenced out. The planting will take place over 4 years, so it'll be a gradual reduction in the grazing opportunities out there. But it does, you know, we will have some waste out there, there's no doubt about it, but I don't think it's at a level that will impact the water quality and that sort of thing.
Aside from the money, and you mentioned a $10 million total price tag, who will do the work and over what period will it be done and over what parts of the year? I mean, it sounds like a tricky place to try to gain a footing in some real physical sorts of ways.
It is a very tricky area because you're bound by what they call the in-water work period, which is when anadromous fish are, like coho salmon, are present. So you really only have from about June 15th to September 30th to do your work out there. And then, of course, the winter rains can hit any time after the 1st of October, so that also bounds you. So it is a little bit tricky place to work, and what we've done is, you know, we've got all the engineering designed stuff done. We've got, the money in place. We'll go with local contractors for the majority of the work out there, and they're going to have to bid it at a rate where, you know, we make sure and get that work done because we are on a really tight time frame. We've only got about 120 days to get this work done, and those are pretty substantial projects, both the restoration part and the tie gate replacement. So our goal right now is to do part of the tie gate replacement this summer. In fact, I think we're hoping to break ground this week or next week on portion of the tie gate system, finish up the tie gates, and do what I call the dirt work or the restoration work with the channel reconstruction, the filling in of the interior drain ditches and removal of the dikes and that sort of thing, do that in the summer of 2017. So the hard part is making sure we got everybody lined up ready to go to work, you know, the day that it dries out, and work long days and long hours in order to have it completed by the end of summer.
Now, Stephen, what will be the measures of success, and what are the chances for tweaking the restoration along the way if things don't seem to be working quite as you'd hoped?
Well, one of the things as far as tweaking the project that's really developed the last few years is the type of tie gate we're going to use is adjustable, where the old tie gates were not. It just worked on hydraulic pressure. These new ones, you can adjust levels. So if we've got too much water or not enough water, we can adjust these types of tie gates to adjust the water levels. So that one is a pretty good one. You had a different part of the question. If you can repeat it.
How can you tweak it if you see the restoration is lagging? Measures of success.
Measures of success. We've got a pretty extensive monitoring program that we've developed there, primarily geared at several things. Mm-hmm. One is the is coho recovery, and Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is putting together a monitoring plan using pit tags to mark the fish. On the tie gates, we'll have what they call pit tag arrays or antennas. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to measure the fish going in and coming out. So we'll be able to document the increase in coho populations. Water quality is a big issue down mm-hmm. there. Water quality in the summertime is very poor on the project site, and with the tide gates now and the adjustability of them, we can use the tide to flood back and forth, which will raise the dissolved oxygen and those sorts of things.
Okay, so, all kinds of work coming at the Winter Lake Restoration Project. Stephen Dennings with the Nature Conservancy, Megan Hilgard is a contractor for NOAA Fisheries. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.